Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, May 19th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
The sell-off continues as U.S. futures add to yesterday's losses.
J.P. Morgan becomes the latest firm to cut its outlook for growth.
Melvin Capital calls it quits, becoming the latest casualty of the sell-off.
And the White House takes another step to address the baby formula shortage.
The suspected gunman in Buffalo supermarket shooting has a court appearance today. Plus, Supreme Court justices are getting 24-hour protection. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Game one to the Hurricanes. They tied the Rangers late and then won in overtime. Win to the Yankees and Mets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 501 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 59 points this morning, Dow futures down 422, and NASDAQ futures down 205. 10-year Treasury up 13/32, yield 2.83%, and the yield on the 2-year, 2.61%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1% on $1.20 at $108.41 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $4.40 at $18.26.80 an ounce. John.
And Karen, futures are down this morning after yesterday's big sell-off. The S&P 500 had its biggest single-day drop in nearly 2 years. Lauren Gilbert, CEO at Wealthwise, says investors should proceed with caution.
We are playing it more conservatively than more aggressively, both on the fixed income as well as on the equity. So dialing down areas that are high yield or areas like that.
Wealthwise CEO Lauren Gilbert says it's unclear when markets could stabilize. Barings chief global strategist Christopher Smart believes that in spite of the uncertainty, there are still positive signs from the economy.
We still see the U.S. economy as fundamentally strong. The U.S. consumer is still very strong. Companies are ready to, have very good balance sheets. And we've just come through an earnings season that has been relatively good. I think it's important to understand that we're still a long way from a recession in the U.S.
Christopher Smart of Barings says it's a good time to focus on companies with strong business models and balance sheets.
Well, John, the sell-off is extending overseas, and Europe equities are falling hard a day after Britain posted record inflation numbers. And Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the latest. Ewan, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and John. Plenty of red on traders' Bloomberg screens today. Every major European stock market lower this morning, with the FTSE down 2.1%, Germany's DAX off 2%. This as investors start to worry that high inflation will cut into corporate earnings. All 20 industry groups lower on the Europe Stoxx 600, with personal care and financial services among the worst performing sectors. The Stoxx 600 currently down 2%. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thanks. Stocks in Asia also fell overnight. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with the latest from Singapore. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and John. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index halted a four-day rally, posting its biggest one-day decline intraday since early March. Tencent shares plunged in Hong Kong, dragging down the Hang Seng Tech Index after it posted its slowest revenue growth in the first quarter since its 2004 listing. Chinese shares also came under pressure on the mainland after StanChart cut their 2022 GDP forecast to 4.1% from 5%. But Aussie bonds and the local currency rallied after Australia's unemployment level plunged to a near 50-year low in April, delivering a potential boon to Prime Minister Scott Morrison's government as it enters the final days of campaigning for Saturday's election. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Well, turning to the Fed now, it's looking more and more likely the Fed will follow through on Jay Powell's recent hawkish comments to address inflation. Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker plans on a series of rate hikes at a measured pace.
Going forward, if there are no significant changes in the data in the coming weeks, I expect two additional 50 basis point rate hikes in June and July.
And Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker made the comments at a virtual event hosted by the Mid-Sized Bank Coalition of America. He anticipates the economy can weather a measured, methodical tightening of monetary policy.
And J.P. Morgan warning of declining growth. Economists at the bank lowering their outlook about 0.5% for the second half of this year. They now forecast growth of 2.4%. The bank cites falling stock prices, higher mortgage rates, and a stronger dollar as reasons for the revision.
Well, John, it's been over a year since Melvin Capital Management suffered severe losses in the meme stock frenzy, and now Gabe Plotkin's firm is calling it quits. And Bloomberg's Renita Young is here live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Gabe Plotkin is shutting down his $7.8 billion hedge fund. Melvin Capital Management was the most prominent victim of the meme stock frenzy of January 2021, losing billions. The fund posted a 55% loss that month alone. And since then, Plotkin's been trying to claw his way back with funding from some of Wall Street's biggest players. Now, although the fund showed some promise last year, a plan to reimpose fees frustrated backers and failed. Now, Melvin Capital is outlining plans to eliminate fees and return investor cash. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. Turning to the nation's capital now, the White House remains laser-focused on easing the baby formula shortage. It's taking new measures in tandem with Congress to address the crisis. Bloomberg's Amy Morris has the latest from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
President Biden invoked emergency powers under the Defense Production Act to try to boost production of baby formula while ordering the use of government planes for imports called Operation Fly Formula.
That's to be able to speed up the import of infant formula and start getting more formula in stores as soon as possible.
Meanwhile, the House passed a $28 million emergency funding bill for the FDA to address the baby formula shortage. Republicans oppose the measure, and its future in the Senate is uncertain. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. And President Biden meets today with Finland's president and Sweden's prime minister to discuss the nation's bids to join NATO. Turkey's president has blocked the alliance from starting the process for both countries. He cites Finland and Sweden's approach to Kurdish groups that he considers terrorists. Futures this morning again moving lower. S&P futures down 56 points. Dow futures down 400. And NASDAQ futures down 193. And the euro is at 1.0492 against the dollar. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 5:07 on Wall Street, and time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you, sir. The white 18-year-old gunman accused of killing 10 black people at a Buffalo supermarket is scheduled to appear in court today. Authorities say shortly before the attack last Saturday, Peyton Gendron posted hundreds of pages of writings to online discussion groups where he detailed his plans for the assault and his racist motivation. It prompted New York Governor Kathy Hochul to sign an executive order to create a domestic terrorism unit to address the rise in homegrown extremism. Hochul says, among other things, it will alert authorities to anyone who could become violent.
Requiring the state police to file an extreme risk order of protection under New York's red flag law when they believe that an individual is a threat to himself, herself, or others. Previously, current law, it's an option to do so.
According to Governor Hochul, let Buffalo be the city where people said enough is enough. Meanwhile, the U.S. House passed legislation last night that would bolster federal resources to prevent domestic terrorism in response to the Buffalo shooting. Coronavirus variants are spreading in the U.S. and worldwide. At the White House COVID response team briefing, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky urging new precautions.
In areas where community levels are high, everyone should be using prevention measures and wearing a mask in public indoor settings.
Dr. Walensky says there is an uptick in COVID deaths, about 275 per day. New York Mayor Eric Adams said he has no plans to reinstate a mask mandate in public schools, even after health officials this week raised the city's COVID alert level to high. During a news conference, Adams says we are not allowing COVID to outsmart us.
And so I'm just really impressed with how we are operating as a city. Variants are going to continue to come.
Mayor Adams went on to say we're staying prepared and not panicking.
The federal government is warning law enforcement agencies around the nation of the increased potential for extremist violence after the leak of a draft Supreme Court opinion striking down the constitutional right to an abortion. The U.S. Marshals Service has the Supreme Court justices under 24-hour security. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. And it's 5:10 on Wall Street. Time down for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, John. The Rangers know all about losing a series opener in overtime. It happened against Pittsburgh. That was triple overtime at the Garden. This one was in Raleigh, and it ended just 3 minutes in.
She gets it to Smith. His rocket doesn't get through. Knocked down by Trouba.
WCMC had to call the Rangers for most of the night at a 1-0 lead on a Philip Hedl goal, but they failed to score again, and Carolina dominated the third period. They had a breakaway shot go off the crossbar, and another shot caromed off the post. With under 3 minutes to go, Sebastian Aho scored the tying goal. Cole's game winner actually went in off the stick of Ranger defenseman Ryan Lindgren. What a wild start to the Battle of Alberta. Calgary led 5-1. Edmonton came back to tie the game at 6. The Flames won 9-6. NBA West Finals Game 1, Golden State blew out Dallas by 25. Yankees won again in Baltimore. 3 runs in the first inning. They didn't score again, but won 3-2 as Garrett Cole went 7 innings. And Clay Holmes, the last two. Holmes has now thrown almost 20 consecutive scoreless innings, and the Yanks go for the 4-game sweep. This afternoon at Citi Field, Mets pulled away after 4 runs in the fifth inning, 5 more in the eighth, including a Pete Alonso 3-run homer. Mets beat the Cardinals 11-4. Max Scherzer improved to 5-1. Took himself out of the game sixth inning with discomfort in his left side, headed for an MRI, but Scherzer said he doubts it's anything serious. PGA Championship begins this morning in Tulsa. Tiger Woods has an early tee time. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. After yesterday's sell-off, futures right now indicate a lower open of Wall Street this morning. Dow futures 400 points lower. S&P E-mini futures, they're down 56 points. And the NASDAQ futures down 190 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead, lessons from the carnage of yesterday's sell-off. We'll speak with Michael Youssen from CMC Markets, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European shares are tumbling, and U.S. stock index futures are signaling that more losses are ahead amid growing concern that high inflation is cutting into corporate performance. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 60 points this morning. Dow futures down 431, and NASDAQ futures down 201. The DAX in Germany is down more than 2%. The 10-year Treasury up 12 30 seconds, yield 2.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6% at $1.74 at $107.85 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% or $7.30 at $1829.70 an ounce. The euro 1.0493 against the dollar. British pound 1.2385. The yen at 127.89. And Bitcoin this morning is down 0.8% at $28,960. Today we are watching for a report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time. That's the weekly report. And at 10, it's existing home sales and leading indicators. And Kohl's is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning to you, Karen. The CDC's Independent Advisory Committee meets today to discuss whether to authorize Pfizer's COVID-19 booster shot for children ages 5 to 11. It's happening as the nation's COVID resurgence reaches its highest point since mid-February. The suspected 18-year-old gunman in the deadly Buffalo supermarket shooting has a court appearance today. Authorities continue to investigate the possibility of a hate crime or terrorism charges against Peyton Gendron. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers lost to the Hurricanes 2-1 in overtime in Game 1 of their series. NBA playoffs, the Warriors won Game 1 of their Western Finals over the Mavericks.
Baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 3-2. The Mets, Red Sox, and Nationals won. The Giants and A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is now 5:20 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, following yesterday's 4% sell-off for the S&P 500, let's try to get you set up for the trading day ahead. We are joined now by Michael Hewson, the Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. Michael, a big part of the latest market narrative seems to be margin compression, high costs, eating into profits. Is this the correct takeaway?
I think, good morning, John. I think that is part of the story. Certainly those warnings from Target and Walmart, I think have focused the market's attention on the fact that costs are increasing, inventories are at relatively high levels, but also I think we've seen a significant shift from Fed officials, particularly in light of the recent inflation numbers. It's starting to look increasingly sticky. Powell appears to be softening the market up for potentially two more 50 basis point rate hikes in June and July. And I think that's a contrast to what we were sort of being led to believe at the last Fed meeting, where we were talking about 50 in May, 50 in June, and then possibly 25 thereafter. So I think we're getting a much more hawkish pivot from the Fed. We're seeing inflationary pressures continuing to remain sticky. Yesterday, UK inflation surged to a record high on the CPI measure. Canadian CPI jumped to a 32-year high. And I think it's becoming much more apparent that prices will stay elevated for a lot longer than was originally thought at the beginning of this year. And that will have significant effects on consumption patterns and potentially growth. And I think that's why you're seeing US Treasury yields come back off that 3% level. I think there is a concern on my part, looking at that yield chart, that we've topped out on yields. And it's not because the Fed is going to soften up on rate rises. I think its growth is going to slow down as a consequence of a Fed that thinks it's got enough wriggle room on the unemployment level to push a lot harder than we thought that it would be doing 5 or 6 weeks ago.
Is the cure for the higher prices higher prices? Are we going to see a shift away from spending on stuff to spending on things like services at this point? And does that do the Fed's job for it?
I think there's going to be an element of demand destruction. I think that's what you're essentially laying the case out for. And we've certainly seen some evidence of that in the numbers that we saw from Target and Walmart. The higher margin stuff is tending to get left on the shelves. And consumers are putting food and energy and essentials, quite rightly in my view, on the more essential stuff. And that is going to erode the disposable income. I think one particular item that did catch my eye and has caught my eye in the last 2 months is, even though the US retail sales have been fairly resilient, if you actually look at Fed consumer credit for February and March, that has soared. Now, I don't see how that is in any way sustainable in a rising interest rate environment. And I think that, for me, is a bit of a warning sign for retail spending over the course of the next 2 or 3 months.
Michael, is it fool's errand to buy the dips?
I think at these sorts of levels it is, yes. I think much will depend on where the S&P and the NASDAQ react at last week's lows. We're just above them in the pre-market, 11,706 on the NASDAQ, 3,840 on the S&P. I still think we've got downside in this, John. I think we can go to 10,500 on the NASDAQ, and I think we can go to 3,500 on the S&P 500.
You want to gauge for me the risk of, well, let's start off with stagflation and then move on to recession.
I think we're already there in stagflation. I think the big question is, you know, how we avoid a recession. And I think the Fed is really going to have an incredibly hard job to stop the U.S. economy falling into at least subpar or stagnation when it comes towards the end of this year. We've got U.S. first quarter GDP, that was down 1.4% or contracted 1.4%. The bigger question for me is for Q2 is whether or not we manage to eke out any kind of growth at all.
I mean, it's a difficult task ahead for the Fed with any sort of soft landing. And
I think it's impossible. I think it's impossible. I think if the Fed is determined to squeeze inflation out of the system, the consequences of that will be higher unemployment. Now, the Fed seems to think it's got wriggle room because there's 11 million vacancies and the unemployment rate is at multi-year lows. The bigger question for me is how quickly those vacancies disappear and then how far the unemployment rate is allowed to go before the Fed decides it's going to have to start dialing back.
Michael Hewson, the Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. As always, thank you very much. This is Bloomberg. And after yesterday's 4% sell-off for the S&P 500, futures now in the red. Dow futures down 434. S&P 500 futures down 59. NASDAQ futures 203 points lower.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Andy, it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures falling again. That's as stocks come off their worst day in nearly 2 years. Weak retail earnings are stoking concerns about the consumer sector. Mark Cudmore is a macro strategist for Bloomberg News.
The weakness for the consumer sector was belated in my point of view, and it makes sense that it's finally come. We kind of seem to be denying reality there. The bit that I'm really confused about is how fragile is the consumer overall? Because a recession's definitely coming, by the way. There's no chance of avoiding a hard landing, so we're just talking about when it comes.
And Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore says the most optimistic view has the U.S. entering recession next year.
So where do investors put their money? There's no good answer, according to David Dietz. He's senior portfolio strategist at PPAC Private Wealth.
The alternatives like Bitcoin have crashed, so there's only cash. But, you know, with inflation close to 8%, cash doesn't look very good for the long haul either. So it's a real hand-wringing time for investors.
PPAC's David Dietz was a guest on Bloomberg Business Week, heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on Bloomberg Radio. S&P 500 fell 4% yesterday. This morning, S&P futures down 61 points.
Well, the latest casualty of the sell-off, John, Melvin Capital, Gabe Plotkin's hedge fund, is calling it quits. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Gabe Plotkin is shutting down his $7.8 billion hedge fund. Melvin Capital Management was the most prominent victim of last year's meme stock frenzy, losing billions. The fund posted a 55% loss that month alone. And since then, Plotkin's been trying to claw his way back with funding from some of Wall Street's biggest players. Now, the fund showed some promise last year, but a plan to reimpose fees frustrated backers and failed. Now, Melvin Capital is outlining plans to eliminate fees and return investor cash. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. Earnings from Cisco also weighing on sentiment this morning. The tech company warns that lockdowns in China and supply chain disruptions could wipe out sales growth this quarter. Cisco shares down more than 10% in early trading.
And John, some big names on Wall Street are slashing their forecasts. Economists at J.P. Morgan are cutting their U.S. growth outlook for the year at 2.4%. They're also lowering forecasts for next year. At the same time, Wells Fargo is cutting its view on the S&P 500. Its year-end target now hovers about 4,200. Wells Fargo also sees a mild recession as its base case view. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you, sir. The white 18-year-old gunman accused of killing 10 black people at a Buffalo supermarket is scheduled to appear in court today. Authorities continue to investigate the possibility of hate crime or terrorism charges against Peyton Gendron. New York Governor Kathy Hochul authorized the state's attorney general to investigate social media platforms used by Gendron to determine if they were liable for providing a platform to plan and promote violence. Hochul said social media companies have to take responsibility for incendiary content on their platforms.
That's the intersection of two crises right now.
that are unfolding in our country. The mainstreaming of hate speech, of racism, nationalism, white supremacy, and the easy access to military-style weapons and magazines.
Governor Hochul also says she signed an executive order that required state police to flag people who might be deemed a danger to themselves or others. New York Mayor Eric Adams said he has no plans to reinstate a mask mandate in public schools, even after health officials this week raised the city's COVID alert level to high and advised wearing face coverings indoors.
We are being extremely strategic. And we are fighting COVID with not only the tools that we didn't have before, but we're also fighting COVID using the intelligence we need to win.
Mayor Adams says we're staying prepared and not panicking. President Biden's top health official tested positive for COVID-19, the latest member of his cabinet to be infected with the virus. According to a spokeswoman, U.S. Health Secretary Javier Becerra has mild symptoms and is fully vaccinated and boosted. The Justice Department announced U.S. Supreme Court justices will receive around-the-clock security at home, among other protections. It follows the leaked draft opinion advocating overturning abortion rights. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. It's 5:35 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. The Rangers in the first round won a series where they never led Pittsburgh until the overtime goal in Game 7. Now round two, looking to take Game 1 at Carolina. Philip Hedl scored 7 minutes in. It stayed 1-0 for the next 50 minutes. The Hurricanes were outplayed in the first two periods, but they dominated the third. They tied the game on a Sebastian Aho goal with 2:23 remaining, and then 3:12 in overtime. Ian Cole scored on a rebound. The Canes won 2-1. They're now 5-0 at home this postseason. Calgary won a wild game one with Edmonton 9-6. NBA Golden State blew out Dallas by 25. The Mets' great start has been without the still-injured Jacob deGrom, and now there's concern about Max Scherzer. He got the win at Citi Field, improved to 5-1. Mets beat the Cardinals 11-4, but Scherzer took himself out. Sixth inning, discomfort in his left side.
I don't think this is a major strain. Like I said, I was kind of tight, and then all of a sudden it went, you know. But I don't feel like I really ripped it, I felt like it just got worse.
Scherzer will have an MRI today. Yankees made it 21 of the last 24, a 3-2 win at Baltimore, got all three runs in the first inning. Garrett Cole got the win, Clay Holmes the save. The Giants, with salary cap issues, had to release one of their best players, and now they'll see cornerback James Bradberry twice. He signed with Philadelphia. PGA Championship, Short Hills in Tulsa. Without the defending champion, Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau just withdrew with an injured hand. But a marquee threesome tees off this morning just after 9 o'clock. Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, and Tiger Woods. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. And it's time now for the Tri-State Business Report. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Khoury.
Amazon discriminates against pregnant women and workers with disabilities, according to New York's Division of Human Rights. New York wants the company to cease discriminatory conduct and pay civil fines and penalties. An Amazon spokesperson says the company has been cooperating with an investigation. Life sciences in New York City are poised for growth, but some leaders say the city needs space for startups of all sizes, unless it can accommodate companies in their earlier years when they need less space. Experts tell BizNow New York City could lose talent to rival life science hubs. A swimming pool craze in the Hamptons has some homeowners waiting until 2023 for construction to begin. Hamptons-based builders and contractors are having trouble filling current contracts. Since last October, dealers of pool pumps around the country have been booked well into the third quarter. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Khoury.
All right, thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. And let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about how Airbnb may be to blame for a lack of long-term apartment rentals in the city.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Farmers are buying up expensive weed killer despite soaring costs.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that the owner of British Airways has agreed to buy 50 Boeing 737 MAX jets.
I'm Stephen Carroll on DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on the G7 finance ministers meeting in Germany, where they're working on a new financial aid package for Ukraine.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting Phoenix investors paid $5 million for Neela Park, best known as the home of GE Lighting.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It is 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
To avert a worst-case climate scenario, the world may have to remove huge quantities of carbon from the atmosphere, some 21.5 billion tons over three decades by one estimate. Carbon removal is costly and inefficient now, but promising new technologies provide reason for optimism. The question is how to encourage them. Philanthropists have long offered prizes for new carbon removal solutions, and efforts are underway to turn stored carbon dioxide into something economically useful. Governments should do more to help this push succeed. Specifically, making advanced market commitments could have a major impact. A similar model worked wonders for vaccines. In 2007, several governments joined with the Gates Foundation and pledged $1.5 billion in advanced commitments for vaccines. By establishing a market, the effort led to three new vaccines and saved some 700,000 lives. The carbon conundrum is no less urgent. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. This is Bloomberg. And the Bloomberg weather for today for meteorologist Rob Carolyn. The showers will end this morning, and then it will become partly sunny today. The high temperature 70 to 75 degrees. Tonight partly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks are tumbling. U.S. stock index futures are signaling more losses ahead after yesterday's sell-off that erased $1.5 trillion of market value from U.S. equities. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down about 64 points, Dow futures down 466, and NASDAQ futures down 221. The DAX in Germany is down 2.25%. The 10-year Treasury up 17 32nds, yield 2.82%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.61%. NYMEX crude oil is down more than 2% on $2.27 at $107.36 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $8.20 at $18.30.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0494. Against the dollar, British pound 1.2389. The yen is at 127.83. And looking at Bitcoin this morning, down more than 1% at, well, it's down a quarter, well, down more than 1%. I take that back, at $28,880. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. More Ukrainian soldiers were evacuated from a steel plant in Mariupol. Several buses accompanied by Russian military vehicles were seen pulling away from the plant. President Joe Biden invoked emergency powers under the Defense Production Act to try and boost production of baby formula to alleviate shortages. The suspect in the Buffalo killings will be in court today. Meanwhile, players on the Buffalo Bills visited the memorial outside the supermarket shooting. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers lost to the Hurricanes 2-1 in overtime in Game 1 of their series. In the NBA playoffs, the Warriors won Game 1 of their Western Finals over the Mavericks. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 3-2, the Mets, Red Sox, Nationals 1, the Giants and A's lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. The latest market narrative seems to be margin compression, higher costs eating into company profits, in particular at retailers like Walmart and Target. Well, that sent the S&P 500 plunging 4%. What does this tell us about where the U.S. economy is headed? Time to bring in our next guest, John Silvey, founder of Dynamic Economic Strategy. John, thanks for being with us. Your former firm, Wells Fargo, slashing its S&P 500 view for the second time in 3 weeks with a mild recession now the base case. What do you say?
Well, in terms of earnings, the employment cost index, which doesn't get a lot of press, but it is a leading economic indicator for the profits, and profits themselves are a leading economic indicator of the economy. The employment cost index has risen pretty dramatically in the last year or so. And so you got a sense that the employee costs were rising. You've also seen different commodity price benchmarks rising in price. So the combination, not surprising that earnings are getting hit. And when earnings are getting hit, the economy weakens overall. So the leading indicators are just saying that the economy is slowing down. Doesn't really guarantee a recession. Doesn't guarantee we don't have a recession, but there's definitely enough evidence there's a significant slowdown here.
Is there evidence that we're shifting our spending as consumers from stuff to other things like services?
You know, that was a thesis for the last couple of months, John, but the evidence doesn't really show that there's a big shift going on. Rather, it's a downshifting of both spending on goods and on services. So the crunch is on. What you've seen, I think most analysts understand this, is that real household income, disposable income, has been declining for the last year. The month-over-month numbers that we see that are published by the federal government, those numbers have been coming down. Meanwhile, consumer credit card usage has gone up. You know, those are two signals. One, the income constraint is there. And two, a lot of households are making up their budget by taking credit card debt. Not a good combination. So definitely when you look at the consumer numbers, they're just not as strong as people would have expected 3 months ago or 6 months ago.
Stagnating growth, higher prices. How likely is stagflation at this point?
No, I think it's very likely, John. Traditionally, stagflation is the combination of inflation and a rising unemployment rate. Again, when you look at the jobless claims as a leading economic indicator, those numbers are ticking up just a little bit. And you kind of got a sense, you and I will talk about it in a couple of months, that the unemployment rate is going to be rising. May not be dramatic, but it will be probably a little bit here, a little bit there. So, yes, I think you're going to have stagflation. The second quarter of this year will probably be characterized by stagflation.
Is a soft landing by the Fed out of the question right now?
Yeah, I think it's too difficult, quite frankly, John. I know we'd like to talk about it. The Fed likes to talk about a softish landing. But I think for households, there is no soft landing. Their real income is down. For those that are, you know, newly unemployed with jobless claims, there's no soft landing there. They're unemployed.
Yeah.
So it's not a good combination.
John, always a pleasure. Good to talk to you again. John Silvey, a founder of Dynamic Economic Strategy. Karen.
And John, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Energy Department's new energy conservation standard for manufactured homes doesn't go far enough for some advocates, while industry officials say it will worsen the affordable housing crisis. The Environmental Protection Agency specified levels of 5 forever chemicals that should trigger contaminated site investigations. Within weeks, the EPA will release an updated roadmap detailing the legal tools it can use to promote environmental equity in marginalized communities.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching this week. A sharply divided Supreme Court ruled that federal courts cannot review factual decisions made by immigration officials, even if there are mistakes. A Georgia resident who entered the country illegally 30 years ago wanted to appeal a deportation order, which was based on his checking a box indicating he was a U.S. citizen on a driver's license renewal. The court ruled 5-4 that he could not appeal the immigration official's decision, with Justice Neil Gorsuch joining the liberal justices in dissent. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight.
This decision could mean the difference between a person staying in the country or being deported.
So this is actually a significant limitation in the future on judicial review in the green card application context. It basically makes it so that almost any decision that is being made, even if it's completely wrong. So if the government says you are a polygamist and you say, what are you talking about? Where are there two marriage certificates that show I'm a polygamist? You could not actually get that reviewed in the Supreme Court or in any other federal court, because now none of that's going to be reviewable under the logic that the green card application itself is discretionary.
So then under this decision, a federal judge can't review the determination made by an immigration official. So the decision by this one immigration official is the be-all and end-all.
Correct. That's part of a green card application. That's correct. Meaning that if anybody is making a decision as part of a green card application, not just as to the discretionary decision at the end, give it or not based on discretion, but also on any of the facts. Are you a polygamist? Are you an illegal gambler? Are you a drug dealer? Are you any of these things? You will have no opportunity to go in and review any of those facts, even if they're completely wrong, because the Supreme Court has said, well, because the larger determination is discretionary, that covers everything, even the factual determination.
And Justice Gorsuch split from his conservative colleagues and sided with the liberals here, writing the dissent.
So Justice Gorsuch has actually now, in a trend of two cases, one is called Ms. Chavez and one is this case, said that he is going to hold the government to a very strict standard on deportation cases, because deportation is such a drastic penalty that's being given to immigrants. He wants the government to follow every detail perfectly, and he wants there to be judicial review and reopen your case to get discretionary relief. There he ruled, yes, you have to give the exact notice, the date and time perfectly. You can't subsequently fix it later. And so here he's doing the same thing. He's saying, look, when the government gets facts wrong, the court should be able to review it. That's a consistent trend.
And that's Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight, speaking at the Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And futures this morning falling. S&P futures down 61 points and NASDAQ futures down 202. Still ahead on Bloomberg Day. Break a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.